Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Yeah. Good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. So welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. And it's a Friday. Thank God it's a Friday. Everybody is talking about Friday. And the 9th of January, 2026, we are progressing. We are moving toward 2026. And where are you finding yourself? Where are you finding yourself this time of the early evening? We are greeting you from your number one favorite radio station, that is Eagle FM. And are you preparing the back-to-school program? Are you preparing the back-to-school program? Are you preparing your bundle of joys to go back to school on Monday? How is the conversation? Somebody made a joke, and I'm not going to mention this, to say January has come and it's a fight between, people has officially started. But yeah, let us look at what we have for the conversation for today. Like I'm always indicating to say, when you want to build the Namibia that we want, when we are having those dreams of a beautiful Namibia, a well established state where housing crisis is not an order of the day, in Namibia where a young person at high school is not concerned about the future because industries are built, in Namibia where corruption has ended. When you want to do that, we need to look at the structures of institution, and most importantly too, also look at our internal way of doing things, the way we think, the way we operate, and the way we relate to other people, particularly the citizens of Namibia. So before we go there, maybe just to ask you a question, to say, are you still dreaming? Because thinkers and psychologists have indicated that the mind of a children is a wandering mind, a mind which is thinking. You have hope of the future. You think about the beautiful houses that you want to build. You think about the cars that you want to buy. You think about a beautiful wife that you want to buy. You think about universities, you think about everything, and it looks easy. And that is the mind of children. But by the time you are growing, you end up losing that content time to time. You end up losing that wandering mind. But those who specialize in organizational thinking, who specialize in critical thinking and strategic planning, is to say, for you to imagine the future, you must develop that childhood mentality of thinking, that childhood ways of dreaming. But the beautiful thing about dreaming when you are an adult is that it's no more going to be just a dream for the sake of wanting things, but there are practical steps that you can be able to take to achieve that dream. Are you still dreaming? Do you still have bigger dreams and bigger goals for yourself? Or you have just decided to throw in the towel? Are you racing against your age? Or you are racing against other people? And there are people, just before we go to the conversation for today, through my observation and interaction with people from different backgrounds, I've realized to say, and it's a thing I'm seeing with young people, we give up very easily. We think that when somebody is succeeding, does not mean that I'm not going to make it. And we see this to say, and there is a fear among the young people when they see somebody and they start defining people with properties. And looking at that context, we have already lost it as a society. That is why today we are asking a question to say, no matter the circumstances, are you still keeping your dream intact? Are you still keeping the plan intact? And are you still working toward that plan? And how many practical steps have you taken? And we do not go through a lot of same things in life, but you really find people that life did not really go well to them, although they have really great plans. You speak about diseases, you speak about maybe an accident, you speak about inability to do things. But there is a saying to say, no matter the situation, there is always opportunity. There is always opportunity. That's why this year we started with a saying to say we should not entertain the aspect of victimization. We should not entertain the aspect of victimization. And, you know, I borrow the words from my supervisor, Francis Nengera. Francis Nengera always like to say, no, people should not feel pity for me. I don't need anybody's pity that I'm visually impaired. But this is somebody who can teach you technology, somebody who can do everything. And I'm always inspired to say, if he can be able to do this, although we are not the same intellectually, he is far ahead than me. But it's something that we should all learn to say, let us not use our circumstances. What about me who is given both sight? What about me who is given another advantage? Why can't we use our situation to push through what we can do? That is just something which I brought up. I realized that it's very necessary, especially on this Friday, to mention it on this Friday, to say, until you are dead, your defeat is psychological. That is a quote I got when I was reading at the beginning of this year, to say, until death, your defeat is psychological, which means that as long as you can breathe and you can wake up and you can listen to Eagle FM Namibia, your number one favorite radio station, you can still come back to the game and you can still win. And there are beautiful stories of a comeback. There are quite very beautiful stories of a comeback. And the comeback is a very interesting thing because you have understood the challenges that you have gone through, and you are also going to be a very good advisor. That's why best advice are coming from people who failed in life. Best advice are not coming from people who succeed accidentally, but are coming from those who are resilient, those who went through difficult, even somebody who have failed can be able to advise you to say, don't do that, don't go to that corner, don't do that, watch yourself. Don't do that. Watch yourself. It's a Friday. Handle your finance this way. Handle people this way. Handle your interaction with people this way. This is how you approach things. And that is exactly what needs to be done, especially looking ahead at our bigger dreams and also looking ahead at our common shared vision of the Namibia that we want. We are looking at Vision 2030. We are saying there are only 3 years before Vision 2030 to be realized. And are we moving toward that? What are we doing? Are we waiting for people to move us toward that? Do we realize our bigger roles that we have in Namibia, national development? Before we go to the main conversation for today, it's also quite interesting to look at an observation, particularly what is happening. When you look at on TV, when you look on international media report, you can be able to see that there is a big exercise, there is a big military exercise, particularly the navies of BRICS countries. Speak about Brazil, speak about India, speak about China, speak about Russia, Iran, and South Africa, and also other countries. And it's happening in this ocean of Cape Town, Cape of Good Hope, and is presenting an alternative global military posture. And international analysts are saying it's a message to the United States of America. It's not me who is saying that. But why the timing, though? We are seeing beautiful ships, beautiful submarines that we have never seen, warship carriers, advanced technology, and under the context too of you know, the will for peace and also working together of these countries to promote you know, economic cooperation and also maritime safety. Because for your own understanding is that although the world has moved so, they have moved on, there are still incident of pirates. We speak about incident of pirates, and also incident of individuals and also criminals using the sea to, you know, not really to say invade countries, but illegal transportation. Either we speak about illegal poaching, we speak about poaching, you speak about smuggling of firearms, speak about people running away from your country. So if you have a sea, if you are closer to the sea, and you are not a landlocked country, you have one of the things that you have is to have a very good strategy on patrolling, safeguarding your ocean, and also have a strong, you know, navy. That is what's happening, and you can follow suit also to see beautiful pictures, especially in the next 7 days, because it's going to take the whole week. It's going to be led by China. And you see, and you know, you can also be able to see that the foreign minister of China have started with his yearly visit in Africa to promote economic cooperation and tighten the relationship between African state and China in that regard. And we are living in a most unpredictable and interesting time too in global history. Those who do research are doing research. Those who write history are taking note, because we are living in the most interesting time. Not only the world of advanced technology, but also the world of countries that are prioritizing national interest. We are living in the world where the global political economy become unpredictable because of the interruption in terms of main commodities such as, you know, oil, such as gold, uranium, and many other commodities. Because when you touch oil, you touch energy, you touch transportation, you touch logistics. And we are living in the world where there are quite a lot of opportunities too, and a lot of challenges too. And the question is always, how can as Africans be able to stand on our own? How can enough as African learn and not only to become a victims? Because I will not be happy that I live at a time where we are still victims of geopolitical decisions. Even our ancestors were victims of slavery and victim of colonialism. How can we as African young people find a way on how to improve ourselves and find a way on not only to say let things be, but transforming the future of Africa, the future of our countries, the future of our constituency, and not just to conform on how things have been, because things are not right entirely, which means that young, energetic, educated, able young people must take course in all sectors of development, either in terms of technology, in terms of governance and leadership, and also in terms of you know, academia, so that when you look at Vision 2030, when you look at Agenda 2063, we'll be there standing and celebrating to say Africa is now becoming free. We are no more at the mercy, but we are reaching at the point of equal trading partner. And just for your own understanding, as a Namibian, when you visit other countries, when you go to UK, I don't want you to defend yourself, but you already know, even when they are greeting you, you know that you are not, they are not looking at you as equal. They are not looking at you as equal. Number one, they are looking at you as African. They are looking at you as coming from a country, which is Namibia. Not that much influence, although we have potential. But if we come to the point of advancing our country, then it's more easier for us to have equal posture when it's coming to global affairs. Now, today, we are looking at how should we prepare our children for the future that we want. How should we prepare our children for the future that we want, especially looking at the most needed skills, and also looking at what need to be done when we look at what education system need to look at, especially when it's coming to harnessing of talent, especially when it's coming to promote those who are able academically, and also promoting those who can do it vocationally, particularly from the younger age. We have seen that it takes time in Namibia for a curriculum to change. It takes time, it takes debate, and at some point it also took uncoordinated actions which leave our people in limbo. And when you do not handle your education system very well, you will not be able to handle your development, because development is driven by research, driven by data, driven by innovative idea. That is why we are saying, how can we prepare the future generation of young Namibians for the future that we want? And one of the economists, I think it's around 2023 there, when Marie Rukera was giving a presentation on one budget analysis and saying, Norman, why we are speaking about industrialization, but our budget is more on social affairs? Why are we speaking about industrialization, but our budget is looking at a different direction? And it's the same question we are asking today. Why are we speaking about Namibia going to be advanced in 2030 when our investment is not on quality needed education? Those who follow international development, you'll be able to see. There have been videos shown of children in grade one in China, in Japan, where they are learning how to build things. They are learning basic vocational training, activities. They are involved into things that are able to connect, materials together. They are involving in basic pre-engineering with which can fit in their intellectual understanding. But kids in Namibia, there was a point I visited one school. They are still singing the same songs that we were singing in kindergarten, Baba, Black Sheep, NEU. I did not even understand what was happening. We have been singing those songs, Baba, Black Sheep, NEU, and all those things. The same colors. The same basic things that we were taught. But now you are shocked to say, this is the education system that we went through. Why are they not transforming from the younger age? When you listen to children at primary school, they are still speaking about the formula and the format of storytelling is the same. Yes, it's to get excited. But what is the message behind those stories? There was one video I posted on my Facebook, I think it's 2021. And I was really, at that point, I was not happy. There were children, a video was taken, children in Opuo singing Ochithima. I do not understand the message, colleagues. I just did not understand the message which is coming from that. And children were very happy, jumping. And in my years of seeing changes and transformation in various schools, I realized to say, no, in Namibia, we still have a long way to go. And today, the conversation is based on that, to say, how can we transform primary education? How can we prepare our bundles of joy, particularly when they are going back to school, for the future that we want? When you ask any parent now, just ask this question, especially those who were not listening to Eagle FM, just ask any question to say, no, your kid looks smart, what do you want them to become? Everyone say, no, this one is going to be a lawyer, this one is going to be a doctor, this one, I think it's going to be an engineer, and it's going to be, a teacher. But that has been happening in the 1990s when after the transformation from Badu Education Act and also to real education being championed by people, indigenous people, and directing what need to be done from the generic to a syllab. To say, no, a teacher was a very important person, and still an important person, actually. But nobody can say, this one looks like a builder. This one looks like an artist. Maybe this one is going to become a designer. Maybe it's going to become an architect. Maybe it's going to be a plumber. He likes working with his hands. Maybe this one is going to work in construction. Because we still have that thing in mind. And we are also advising our kids not even to think about those things. And we are not even teaching our kids on how to work with their hands. We are not teaching them how to work with their hands. Especially us who are in towns. How do you expect a person to handle, to manage his house when he is not able to put together a cupboard? When he is not able to fix his pipe line at the point where the plumber is not there? How do you expect a person to extend his potential when our way of thinking, is still that academia or intellectual academics are going to help us? Yes, they are going to help us, but we in the assistance of who? You know, Helmut, my colleague, likes saying, we missed the point. We thought we train a lot of academicians, and then we realize that we do not have institutions. Then academicians end up getting an opportunity internationally so that they can be able to run those institutions. But it's a question that you're asking yourself now to say, now that people are speaking and the evaluation report is indicating now that the levels are changed and somebody from vocational education can be able to acquire a PhD, and people are getting this wrongly, where are our PhD holders? 80% to 85% of our PhD holders are in academia. They become teachers. They are not in industries. Or they become politicians. I want you to take a study. I want you to look at U.S. House of Congress, House of Senate. You look at the U.K. You look at German. Then you see qualifications. Then you see where are our PhDs in Africa. Every minister is a PhD holder, either it's honorary or academic qualification. You're asking yourself how. In Africa, and it is a reality actually, almost all presidents, ministers, and prime ministers are doctors. But the fact of the matter is intellectuals are needed. Those who are able to work with their hands are needed. But people must be placed at the right institutions. That's why today, when we are asking a question to say, how are we preparing our children for the future? I do not want my kid in the future to go to kindergarten and still sing Baba Black Sheep. I don't want that. Things must change. I want my kid, when they go to kindergarten, I want the future generation of this country, when they go to preschool, they must learn basic works that can determine their future. By the time a person in grade 5, they know the difference. They know their talent already. By the time they are in grade 6, they are able to differentiate. They are able also to say, I can take a scholarship in sport, like what they do. And it has been done, I think, 100 years already in other countries. Say you are good with sport, you get a grant on pursuing a sport. You go to university that have facilities in sports, and you can excel there. Because if we still go back and sing Baba Black Sheep, the same colors, and when I visit schools, those nice songs that you used to sing and jump, they retrieve your memories and start thinking about your friends when you're in grade 1 and 2 and 3. You start thinking about your friends when you were young people. But is it now necessary? Don't we need to transform? I'm not saying people should not think. But don't we need to transform now so that we will not have a lot of people who some of them, they by luck end up identifying that they have talent when they leave school already. Then they end up going to school because teachers realize to say, if Paulus cannot do well in mathematics, Paulus must just go home. Or if Paulus cannot pass, must just, you know, go home. It's good for nothing. And could it be now the right time that, especially at the beginning of the year, especially parents who have kids that have failed last year, could it be now that it's the right time to understand where your child is coming from? You may look for a tutor, but you must also look for identifier of a talent of that person. Because we are living in an interesting time that the government have also realized to say, look, we need to prioritize, for example, sport, art and culture and creative industry. Because I've asked a few people, just a random research about what do they think about Namibian musicians. Do you know what they think? They say bad things about Namibian musicians. They say, no, you know, if you become a musician in Namibia and you are young, you will not go anywhere and all these things. But things that we are failing to understand is just that what drive musicians, what drive these creative industry professionals to end up engaging in unlawful activity. Some they become, you know, I was looking at the moving story of Jericho. He's coming out. What lead them to do these things of alcohol? Some end up using drugs. Could it be that they were not looked after? Or is it a thing that is associated to them? Could it be that maybe they end up cornered by their mind because their efforts are not recognized? Can we look beyond that and say, it's beautiful to be a musician in Namibia, as long as there is support? If a kid is dreaming to be an actor, why can't we assist? Because I remember when we were at combined school, not really to say deep down the forest, but at the village that time, you see, we used to make this stage drama and play. Then some of these guys, they are very funny. They are talented. They can come. They can follow the scripts and can also improvise there on stage. And you are so impressed to say, this is a naturally born actor. Just need polishing. This is a naturally born singer. The beautiful ladies that used to sing at Sunday school, their talent end up going nowhere when they don't pass grade 11 and grade 12. The beautiful ladies that used to excel in cultural activities, their talent end when they don't pass grade 12, when they don't make it to university and to college. But in other countries, that is a competitive advantage within the line that you want to get in. Comedian, those backbenchers that used to make us laugh, and even when the teacher come in class, they end up whipping us. People with a high level of sense of humor, their talent end when they are not making it to grade 11. Now, when we are at the beginning of 2026, it's now a right time to take a step back and look at to say, when you go back and realize to say, how many people that you schooled with had talent, but they were not supported? How many? There was one guy whose name is not going to be mentioned. That guy was very good at playing soccer. He was very good at playing soccer. He was a good coach. He was a good soccer player. He was a goalkeeper. He was everything. And there was even a point, even when that time he ended up not passing, teachers tried by all their means to bring him back to school. And even the time he was in the village when the school is going to play, there are even a point where they go and take that guy so that he can represent the school. But a few years later, I look at this person, I wanted to cry. But you cannot cry because it's a reality on the ground to say, a talented young person who would bring us a lot of money, who would represent Namibia, not only to say he can go to EPL, can represent Namibia. can even be better than Peter Sharurire or being a competitive player. But these people are not identified. Could it be not that now is the right time that when you're at the beginning of the year, we should not, especially parents, don't beat your kid when a kid is not performing. Look at what a kid is being able to do. Don't insult kids. Don't do that. Because what you are doing is that you are destroying not only the future of your kid, you are destroying the future of Namibia. Kids, children must be motivated to study, but must also be motivated, especially at a younger age, particularly from preschool until grade 5. Particularly at a younger age, children must be motivated to do what they are best in and show their talent and being supported. If a child is interested in sport, in boxing, in karate, in basketball, assist those children. I have seen in other countries, when you read the history of most successful sport men and women, you realize to say there have been a link between a support at home and also the success of this person. The greatest tennis players, the Williams ladies, the Serena Williams and her sister, their father was the main coach, and he made sure that every training he is there to support their children. Every training he is there. How many of parents can go and attend a child who is playing soccer? Just take time, 1 hour, to say, no, Papa, there is soccer at the stadium, and I'm going to play. I'm a defender, I'm a midfield. Just you being there can motivate this child. But in Namibia, if you are not able to pass, you are good for nothing. You are good for nothing. And what I've also observed is that we should also try to transform the way our educators also, I'm not ready to say the way they behave, but the way our educators also look at non-performing children academically. What we see is that that because the aim of a teacher is to teach, you need to do all your best to make sure that the children, they make it in the classroom and at the field. But we see that the privileged student, the privileged learner who perform well academically, is the only one who is supported. But this one is already going forward. All the treatment. I was very lucky, and later on I realized to say it was a bit not fair. Because if you do well at spelling bees, if you do well at debating, if you do well academically, you get all the privilege at school. You are advanced. But you realize to say other children, they also end up not really motivated, because they always think that, no, so is Susanna, so is Maria, so is David. And it brings a lot of envy among children. And some of them end up thinking they are not good enough. And you also realize to say, teachers were supposed to say, yes, congratulate and motivate those who are doing very well. But because it's also promote competition, but assist the struggling students. Do not laugh at them. Do not put them on TikTok, because what we are speaking about today, especially when you speak about the preparation of our young people for the future that you want to remove and change that mentality that we had for quite some time, especially looking at the non-performing children. That's where we come in with the aspect of, you know, vocational training, education. The aspect of men must be able to work with his hands. You can't be an office boy forever. There is a time where you are retired. There is a time where you are at the farm. There is a time where even your assistant at the farm cannot do that for you. There is a time where you have to wash and iron your clothes. And there is a time where you have to build something beautiful, even in front of your children. Because what we see now is that, especially in December, children end up, you know, more impressed by the craft of a gate man, or the craft of a garden boy, or the craft of you know, a housekeeper. But their parents, apart from advising money, they cannot really give their children something beautiful. That, okay, let's go out in the field, let us build this table, let us fix the chair. We are stuck on our way to visit our grandparents. Let us fix the car. This is how we should do things. Because the world that we are in and the world that we are going in is more than intellectual thinking. It's more than pushing the papers. It's more than sitting in front of the computers. That's why talent advancement should be, must be, one of the priorities. For those of you coming on the radio for the first time, this is a business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at how should we prepare children for the future that you want to participate in the economic development of the Namibia that you want. Especially now when you are speaking about back to school, how can we support non-academically excelling student? How can we identify talent? And how should we motivate children with what they have? Because it's really now the time that, yes, the 8th administration have shown a posture of supporting a talent and creativeness, but that should not only be at the strategic level. It should come down, and it should be also the efforts of educators and principals to make sure that these children, their talents are identified and utilized, because it will be a revolutionary change in the way we do things. We will contribute to the development of not only the country, the region, and the world too. We will produce a lot of champions, because in the next 2 years, somebody may want to be the next champion in terms of athletes. I love what Masilingi and Boma have done for this country, and it will never be erased in the history of Namibia. But you know what that is telling you? That is telling you that we have thousands of unidentified, unpolished diamonds in Namibia. Because one of the things that took out Boma, through research and what I have seen, is that she got identified by people with facilities, by people who can see the vision. But how many of Namibian talents died with their heroes? So let's look at the short commercial break, then we'll continue with the business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with the business and economic segment, and we are asking ourselves a question to say, how can we prepare young people? How can we prepare young generation for the future that they want, especially primary school children? How can we prepare that of who we are sending back to school now to the future that they want? How can we identify their talent? And also, how can we support those who need support? And also, how can parents make sure that they don't get angry to their children when they are not performing in one part of life? Because that is the only part of life. There's only one part of life, but there are other elements that they can do. Look at professional sports personalities. Some of these guys cannot speak even their native language. Some of them have challenges in interacting with other people. Some of them, they have challenges of presentations in front of classes, but they found out that using of their bodies within the field can be able to produce real results. So now the question that we should ask, and we should continue asking, is that what new way of thinking have you learned that you realized that when you were at primary school, it was a scam. It was a scam in the sense, not really to say you were scammed, but in the sense that it's no more variable. Can really go back and see the methodologies, the teaching tools that is being used currently at primary school. What have changed? Can you go back and look at the technology which is being used? Are these children being prepared for the future? Because if you corrupt them at the first 3 years of their school level, then you corrupt them forever. But if you open their eyes, you identify their talent, you advise them, you teach them that not all of you are going to become intellectuals. Not all of you are going to be academicians. Not all of you are going to work for white-collar jobs as we thought they were going to be white. They're going to be beautiful. But some of you are going to be assisted in identifying your potential. Are going to be great singers, great actors, great comedians, you know, artisans, artists. And most of you are going to be good when it comes to boxing, rugby, and any other aspects. Because that is exactly what you need to do. Now, there is this one question that we should also ask to say, when we are saying we are ready for Brave Radios to play at home, what have we done in terms of our facility? What is the progress of our facility? Number two is that do we really have full-time coaches at our primary and the high school level? Do we have full-time coaches? Is it necessary? Do we have full-time counselors? School counselors? Is it necessary? But when you go to, just give an example of an international school. Give an example of other private school which names I cannot mention. When you visit them, you see that the job of David at that school is just to coach children, maybe sport team, maybe football team. The job of this person is a netball coach. Why do they have that? Because they realize to say, among these that we are training, we also have our best shots that will come from the field. That's why, if you look carefully, you realize to say some schools, they perform well when it's come to almost everything. Academically, they beat you. They're in the top five. Take that. Science fair, they beat you. They're in top five. When it's coming to sport, they have regional cups or maybe national cups too. When you go to university, they're in the first row. When you go to vocational training centers, they already have the basics. But us, we are still singing Baba Black Sheep. I'm not saying the song should stop, but we should do better than that. We should also review the books and motivations that is being given to the young people, especially at the primary school level. Because I remember that time when you have this thing of career choices, you have these books of a lot of careers, it's really difficult for you to find an artisan there. There were things such as a mechanic. It's really difficult for you to find a pipe fitter. It's also very difficult for you to be motivated that you can do it through sport. But now that there is money being presented to that area, let that money not just disappear through administratively. Let that money not only be used by sport bodies, but should be used to identify the talents of our young people. And it's really something that people don't see. When it comes to sport, when it's come to sport, I've realized that we only, especially at the village level, we only have almost two to three kind of sport codes that children participate in: football, netball, and athletic, which is sprinting and marathon. But when you come to Windhoek, when you go to Okahanja, when you go to Swakopmund, you realize to say sports codes are increased. You speak about gymnastics, you speak about karate, you speak about basketball, speak about volleyball. Then you realize to say, nee, man, when Namibia is sending their youth to represent the country outside, the determining factor of Namibia national team at the youth level, it also depends on where you are in Namibia. But how many of Namibian young people within the village can be best rugby players? If we even put that into our mind, how many of them can be best karate masters? How many of them can own black belt at a younger age? How many of them can play tennis and squash? There are even things that I started training when I'm growing up, things which I did not know. Well, there are different types of... I used to think when I see people playing in a tennis court, I realized to say there's only one form of that, but you have table tennis and many other things. These are the privilege that few Namibians are enjoying. But if we really invest into that aspect, the champion will come from deep down those villages that we undermine, deep down those schools that we are not building facilities, deep down those schools that, are teaching their kids under the tree. Deep down those villages that is even very difficult for teachers to get to school, looking at the roads infrastructure. But I think while we are at the beginning of the year, we are not late, and it's never too late. There is always something that we need to do. And I hope that the Baroti and also his boss, that is Memesan Etstinkep, are looking at that aspect to say, at the beginning of the year, we must identify talent. We must motivate children. We must not only say we have those who pass in failures. We must have those who pass and also those who can do it in other sectors. Because if you, and it was an easy thing, it was also in a situation to say, and I knew it, if I cannot make it at the primary school, at the high school level, I knew I was going to be just at the village heading kettles and maybe try to see how the future would fold out. There was never an option to say, maybe I should have tried sport, maybe I should have tried this, because it was a do or die. That's why I told people, we have to push, we have to make sure that it's academic or nothing. Other people who are not able to do it, we are really sorry about that. And let us not continue with this trend, especially from grade 1 to grade 4, because our industrialization is going to be defined by what we are feeding our children from grade 1 to grade 4. The motivation we are giving them, the information that we are giving them. Because think as they say, a children is tabula rasa. Some empty mind is reacting on everything that you are putting in, the environment that they are in, the information that they are getting. That is why the advanced nation, and the research have proven it. Look at China, look at what they are teaching their primary school children. Look at Japan, what they are teaching their primary school children. Look at Iran, what they are teaching their primary school children. Look at the U.S. The U.S. can have faults here and there, but you cannot take away its ability to maintain industrialization, its capacity to produce the best. You cannot take away that from the United States of America. It has its faults. It has its influence that we are not happy with. But its ability to maintain the posture of dominance in the world in terms of the economy, in terms of industrialization, in terms of military might, in terms of other areas, in terms of harnessing knowledge and talent. Do you realize that there is a genius passport? If you are talented and you want to go to America for the citizenship, they take you with both hands and you are given a special permit, special passport, because they believe that continuation, investment in talent, investment in capacity will be the future. And everybody want to win. Everybody want to be competitive. But we can only be competitive if those who are young are taught how the future is like, and they are taught to expand their talent, because some of the talents end up dying when a person did not put much effort in that aspect. So, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation. Enjoy your Friday. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. see you around. Take care of yourself, and we shall see each other on Monday at Early Morning Scoop. See you around, and shop shop.